and your basement Alice, the first line of the wide lines.
Mishnah said a basil on the prota. The basil says that the kedushin has to be done with at least a prota. How much is a prota? Supper of Yosef, Lamaymar, Sir of Yosef, thought to say prota kolder, where prota means any amount, meaning whatever the value of a prota is in a certain time, that's what it is, doesn't matter what it is relative to other coins or relative to the price of silver or what have you. But the mission continues. It's not just prota kolder, kama I prota, what is the value of a prota? It has an actual certain value. Echemishmina b'Yisr ha'italki, 1/8 of an Italian Yisr. So you might answer, okay, in Moshe Rabbeinu's times it was worth 1/8 of an Isser HaItalki. Not that they didn't have an Isser HaItalki per se in Moshe Rabbeinu's times. Italki means from Italy. Italy itself didn't yet exist as a defined unit in Moshe Rabbeinu's times. The famous reed that was stuck in the water in Shlomo Melech's times. Reed. The famous Gemara, that's when Shlomo Melech married Bas Parai, and Malach Gabriel came and stuck a reed, in a stick into the water, and eventually dirt clumped up around it, and that became the area of southern Italy and Rome. Yeah. An Isser HaItalki as such didn't exist in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, but there would have been a similar coin or a similar weight or whatever that Prota was 1/8 of. So you might say that was in Moshe Rabbeinu's era. Aval Hocha Kedachash V'Lulayinchi. You might argue nowadays how whatever people consider a Prota is a Prota. But no, the Hocky also of Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Shir Rav Simoi B'dor, Rav Simoi, one of the last Tanoim, or the Amoraim, whatever, figured out in his times, what Rashi says, somebody was in a Kaddish, a woman with a Prutta, and he needed to figure out whether this Prutta is really a Prutta, whether it's really worth the minimum value, and how much is it. He figured out, Echad B'Shmoyna B'Yisrael HaItalki. Robin, and later on when Robin came from Bavel to Israel, Omar, he said that Rav Destoy, Rav Yanei, Rav Oshia, also from the Uli Amiraim, Shiru, they also figured out, they figured out differently. Kama have a Prota Chamishisha, based on Itaki. They figure it's 1/6 of an Isa, different than our Mishnah. 1/6 is more than 1/8. But that's what we're going to talk about soon. The Gemara is going to get into the issue, does that mean that the value of the Prota went up, or does it mean the value of the Isa went down? Either way, the point is that we see that they had to figure out how much, either way, it means they had to figure out what a prutta is actually worth in contemporary times. They couldn't just say, well, people call it a prutta, so it's a prutta. So you see, Abaya says that no, prutta has to have a certain defined value. You can't just say whatever people call a prutta. If that's the case, then think about what it says in a Braisa. The Braisa talks about, now last week we had in the parasha when it talked about the mitzvah about bringing a korban asham and asham tolu. It talked about when a person did an aveira by mistake, a couple of psukim before, and there was a long rashi over there about how careful a person has to be not to even do an aveira by accident. So a Braisa takes a slightly different tack on that. The Braisa focuses on a couple of psukim earlier when it talks about the mitzvah, when it talks about that person committed me'ilah, a person mistakenly used something belonging to Hekdesh, they also have to bring a korban, Hashem me'ilos. The pasuk says over there that korban has to be worth at least 2 sloim. What's the minimum amount that you need to have used of Hekdesh to be chayav for me'ilah? A pruta. So the Braisa says, look how, remember, a person only brings a korban, a person only brings an asham me'ilos if they did the aveda by mistake. If they did it b'mezu, they just get malchus. Right. So the Braisa wants to tell us, look how careful you have to be to stay away from aveiras. A person commits me'ilah b'shogeg with one prutta, look what a large size korban they need to bring. Seva Hashoev, the Braisa says, go figure out kama prutas b'shnei sloim. How many prutas are there in 2 sloim? The value of the korban yosim and alpayim, more than 2,000. Now, if you look at it in terms of here's a chart that shows the values of how the different coins how they relate to each other. There's the sela, there's the pruta. So the seller contains 4 dinarim, and each dinar contains 6 ma, etc. So by multiplying together, we're going to have, the Gemara is going to quote now in a couple of lines, the Gemara is going to quote the whole, is going to give us the whole monetary system. Anyway, what's important for our purposes is that you see over here, 1 seller contains 768 prutas. 2 sloim is going to be twice that. 1536. That's why I circled 768 over here. The twice that is going to be 1536. It's going to be in 2 slugging. So, but that's less than 2,000. You know, the Braisa is telling us that after that you did Mi'ilah with a Prutta, you got to pay, you got to bring a carbon which is worth 2,000 and more Pruttas. So obviously, Rabbi Yosef says that means the Prutta must be much smaller than we're assuming it is. Therefore, I'm right after all. A Prutta can be called Ru, whatever people call a Prutta. So if it happens at some, so fine, Moshe Rabbeinu's times, and usually you would have there's 1,500 and some Pruttas and 2 Slayim. But if there's inflation or deflation, whatever, if the value of the prutta goes down or the value of the seller goes up, then yeah, the value of the prutta goes down, let's say for our purposes, yeah, you could have more than 2,000 of them in 2 slain. However, you don't even reach 2,000. What do you mean more than 2,000? Obviously, it means the value of the prutta can go way down. However, a certain old Talmud Chacham told them, there's a couple of places where Rishonim discussed whether the Hahu Sava in these contexts means Eliyahu Hanavi, or whether it just means an old Talmud Chacham. They knew he was a Talmud Chacham. They knew he was old. They forgot his name. Anyway, he says to them, "I'm not a Neinala. Actually, I taught that Braisa, and you have the wrong version of it. I Korev Malpayim. When I taught the Braisa, the Lashon that I said was Korev Malpayim, almost 2,000, not over 2,000." Okay, so, still not close to 2,000 either. Alpha v'chamesh me'ot losen v'shitza hu da'avim. Altogether, 768 times 2 is 1,536. That's still, it's not close to, it's a large number of prutas, granted, but it's a far away from 2,000. The answer is, kivin denak l'bu m'palga, yes, but once you're beyond the halfway point from 1,000 to 2,000, or once you're over 1,500, kardav l'apayim kardilet can already be called close to 2,000. And one of the Mepharshim over here on Kedushin Asmus Yosef brings the case that once was brought to him. Somebody had a shtar where it said that he owes the other person close to 3,000 coins or whatever kind of coin it was. And Asmus Yosef asked, based on our Gemara over here, that it's enough if he pays him 2,501. He doesn't have to prove how much the actual loan or what have you was. If it's close to 3,000, well, anything over 2,500 can be called close to 3,000. Okay, so after all, if you have the correct version of the Braisa, the way that Ahu Sava said he originally taught it, then yes, you can still say that it means that a Prutta has to be a Prutta, to say at least the same, it has to be the same value that it was in Moshe Rabbeinu's times. And now that's right. Okay, cool. But getting back to what we said, Kiyosu of Demi Yomar. This is Achas Mishmaina. This is the normal, the Mishnah told us Achas Mishmaina Be'isah Heitalki, and then the normal understanding is going to be that's what it is. That's what we're going to talk about now. Gufa, getting back to, we said, Kiyosir of Dimi Yomar, Shir of Simoi B'dor Kami Prutah Achas Mishmaina Be'isah Heitalki, that Rav Simoi had figured out that a Prutah is 1/8 of an Isah Heitalki, V'Kiyosir Ravin Amar Shir of this Tov Rav Yanev Rav Oshia Kami Prutah Achas Mishisha Be'isah Heitalki. That seems to be a machlokas. In that case, does that mean that you and Robin are actually arguing on the same machlokas of the following Tanoim? Well, not necessarily, no, it's you and Robin. I mean, it's really the Amoroim who they're quoting, Rav Simoi versus Rav Oshia and his group, but whatever. But does it mean that you have the same machlokas as the following Tanoim? The Tanya. When the Chachamim said that it's actually the Mishnah in Adius. When the Chachamim speak of a Prutta, Echad b'shmoyna b'isser heitalki, it's 1/8, we said in the Mishnah of an Italian Isser, and let's break it down, Shesh ma'a kesef dinner, 6 ma'a make up 1 dinner, ma'a shnei pundyonin, a ma'a consists of 2 smaller coins called pundyonin, so 6 ma'a to the dinner means the 12 pundyonin to the dinner, 48 of them to the seller, which comes up in the halachas of redeeming fields from Hekdesh. Punyan shnei sarin, a punyan consists of 2 sarin, iser shnei musmissim, and iser consists of 2 musmissim, musmas shnei kuntrunkin, kuntruk shnei prutas, 2 times 2 times 2 is 8, so a prutah comes out to be 1/8 of an iser heitalki. Most of these names are coins, by the way, over here. I mean, a couple of them are names, are names from the Torah, from Lashon Chachamim or whatever. A lot of them are names of Roman coins. Punyan comes from a name of a Roman coin. Dinner, for that matter, also. Musmus, the rest of them, yeah. Yeah, you can find it in Roman histories, yeah. Their standard coin or something. The Romans called it an ass. That's where we get from it. The Iser is the same thing. That's, I guess, just how they pronounce it in Eretz Yisrael. Same way, for example, they had a coin called a semis, like semi in English, which means a half. That's where we get musmus in our Gemara and so forth. Yeah. Anyway, so Prutta is 1/8 of an Iser Hitafi. That's one opinion. Continue the Braisa. Reb Shimon Gamliel. We break it down differently. The seller and the dinner and the ma, those are all the same. You still have 6 ma to the dinner and 4 dinner to the seller. However, shlosha hadrasim the ma, a ma has 3 hadrasim in it. Shnei hanotzin la hadris, 2 hanotzin to the hadris. Shnei shamnin la hanet, 2 shamnin to the net. Beis purpose la shamin. So therefore, it comes out that you wind up therefore with. You wind up therefore with 36. What is it? So you have so 3 times 2 is 6 times 2 is 12 times 2 is 24. So you have 24. Okay, so you have 24 prutas to the ma. There's again 6 ma to a dinner. So therefore you come out with 144 prutas to the dinner. 24 times 6, 144. If you break it down into Isserim, I mean, Reb Shimon Gamliel is not disagreeing that there are Punyonin and Isserim as well. He's just breaking it down differently to get down to the Prota. It comes out, if you take the view that there's supposed to be the same number of Isser to the dinner, there's supposed to be 24, then 144 divided by 24 is 6. You come out with 6 Protas, too. You come out with 6 Protas to the Isser. 6 Protas to the Isser. So, Nimsa Prutta Hamashi Shabi Seritaki. So Prutta comes out to be 1/6 of an Isser. So Lamat Mara Omakatana Kama Robin Omak Shimon Gamliel. So Abaya says to the Bimi, are you telling me then you when you reported that a Prutta is 1/8 of an Isser, that's according to the Tanakama? When Robin comes later, he's saying like Reb Shimon Gamliel. When 1/6. The problem with that is, besides that we'd have to be saying that there's machlokas, the problem is usually the halacha is like the Chachamim in these kinds of things. Especially if you had a Stam Mishnah that said Echam Shmoina Beisdei Itafi. If anything, Robin usually Rav Dimi would come from Eretz Yisrael to Bava with a report of some halacha. Later on, Robin would come and correct any details that were misunderstood or whatever. Here it would be the other way around. Here Rav Dimi is telling us according to the Chacham, and all of a sudden Robin is telling us like Rav Shimon Gamliel, we're lechora, the halacha is not like him. So Rav Dimi answers him, no, Ben Didi or Ben Robin are libra the Tanakama. No, both of us are going according to the Tanakama. The difference between my report and his doesn't have to do with, to begin with, how many prutas are there in the dinner. It's rather looking at it for the dinner has stayed the same. Has the value of the is and the value of the pruta has stayed the same? Has the value of the iser gone up and down? The iser, the smaller coin in between the dinner and the pruta, has that gone up or down? Hodi Iyaku Isuri, because when Isarim are inflated in value, whether when they have their full value or whatever, then you have Kum Esru Ba'abu Bezuza, then you have 24 of them to the Zuz, which the Zuz is another name for dinner. And therefore, so if you have, in other words, like this, what are you telling them is like this. You always have 192 Prutas in a dinner. Both Rav Dimi and Robin agree with that. What happens to the Isar, though? Does the Isser, are there 24 Isarim to the dinner, which is how, besides being how the Tanakhama in this Braisa had described it, is also that's normally how it is. So therefore you have, 24 Isarim to the dinner, 8 Prutas to the Isser. 24 times 8 is 192. So there's your 192 Prutas. Hodizuli Suli, whereas when the value of the Isser goes down, but the value of the Pruta and the dinner stays the same, then instead you have 32 Isser to the dinner. And since you still have 192 Prutas to the dinner, 192 divided by 32 is 6. So Reb Shimon Gamliel in the Braisa is talking about a situation where the value of the Pruta has gone up. Yes, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the value of the prutha is the same, the value of the dinner is the same. What happened to the iser, though? Are there now 6 pruthas to the iser and 32 iser to the dinner, or is it 8 pruthas to the iser and 24 of them to the dinner? Okay, before we talk about the issue also, whether Rav Dimi would be able to answer that he and Rav and both agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel as well. But again, since we assume the halacha is like the chachamim, then that's why he would rather zet the dayan like them. Well, part of it may depend. Well, that's true.
The will be cheaper and the davis stay the same.
Well, yes and no. I mean, generally, well, you have to keep in mind also our coinage nowadays is, you know, what makes a dollar worth a dollar, what makes a quarter is the government decided that it is. There's no precious metal in there to the value of a quarter or a dollar or what have you. So there's that, but so it could have depended on the material that the coins are made out of. It could have depended. I mean, not necessarily did you have. You know, you might have one. You know, you might have in one area of the empire they mint dinarim, and another they mint sarim or whatever. So the prices could go up and down depending where you are.
Maybe there's more historians from this to the dinner, so that means the dinner is cheaper, although...
Well, I mean, here we're focusing on the Easter itself, going up or down, but yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you could also have, I mean, you know, in the halachas of the Master Shekel, appropriate to today, talks about the idea that we learned when we learned Shkolim a few years back, it mentions over there that when you pay in the Master Shekel, you're supposed to pay a small sort of estimate, that you're supposed to pay a small amount, which they're also called a talba, an extra mar or a half a mar or something. One reason behind it, I think explained is because that time of year there was much more of a demand for Master Shekel coins than there is for full Shekel coins, for full Stella coins. So therefore, it's like the price of them gets inflated by the fact that there's supply and demand. There's less of a supply of them, so there's more of a demand. This could have been the same kind of thing. At one point, maybe there was a shortage of Yisarim, so therefore the value of them went up. Or there were too many of them, so therefore the value of them went down, whatever. How much more? Kitsha b'tmara, a man is mekadesh a woman using a single date. Afilo oimed kur tmara medina, so even if a kur, which contains thousands of dates in it, is only selling for a dinner, in which case, again, a dinner only has 192 pruthas in it, then you're going to have each individual date is worth a lot less than a prutha. Nevertheless, mekudeshes. Why? Cheshidin, shemeshav a prutha b'madne, because we have to be concerned, maybe that date would be worth a prutha. One second, there's machlokas for shayin about that. Because maybe that dinner is worth a prutta in Madai. Madai is nowadays is Western Iran, part of the Madai. Why specifically mentioning Madai? A couple of interesting things Mefarshim point out. There's actually a pasuk that mentions that gold that silver was plentiful in Madai. So therefore, in other words, prices were inflated over there. People might well pay a prutha for a prutha's worth of silver or whatever for a tiny thing like a date. That, and on the other hand, also, dates seem to not have been that common in that area. Dates usually grow well in low-lying countries like Babel. Madai is more highlands and mountains and whatnot. Dates don't grow well over there. So as a matter of fact, I mean, you have throughout Shas, the normal kind of beer that they drank was made out of dates. But in Madai, if I'm talking about Sheikhar al-Madi, which was made instead out of barley, like modern day beer. Why? Because they didn't have dates. So dates are less available. Silver is plentiful. So therefore, it could well be. So question is. So one second, we'll talk about what the suffix is. So it's got to be worth a prutha. The answer is like Hasha Habe Kedusha Vada Habe Kedusha Suffix. Yes, but there's a difference. The Mishnah is telling us how much you need for Kedushin Vade. If it's worth a prutha locally, then definitely Kedushin. Whereas if it's worth Shava Prutha B'Madai, then you can't say that Kedushin is enough to be Mavatal if somebody else comes in as a Kaddisher, that Kedushin shouldn't be Tofus. What if it wasn't worth a prutha, and what if it's not worth a prutha in Madai? But you have at least Kedushin Suffix. So what is the actual issue over here? So there's Machlokes Rishonim. On the details of this over here, what this business about Shava Prutha B'Madai. The Rambam holds, well, there's various other Rishonim, who deal with what exactly the Rambam is saying about this, but one way of understanding what the Rambam is saying about it is that this that we say that that this that we say shavu prutah b'madai. So if we don't know whether it's shavu prutah b'madai, that's what the Gemara is saying. It's kedusha safek. If we know that it's worth a prutah in madai, fine, it's kedusha vadai. However, the Rambam adds then a detail. What if the item is going to spoil before you ever get to madai? A date, fine, you can preserve it. They used to dry dates in those days and eat them as a snack, so you can manage to get it to madai and it's still edible. What if you makadosh with something that by the time you get it to madai, it's going to spoil? Then the Rambam says, for sure, no kedushin. Aye, it's worth a prutah in madai. Fine, it's not worth a prutah over here. By the time you get it to madai, it's not going to be worth a prutah either. Therefore, no kedushin.
And the time when the guy gave his promises, it was worth a prutah.
But it was worth a prutah not here, but in madai. That's the part. So that's how the Rambam learns. On the other hand, the Rosh, Tosfos Tuch, a bunch of other Rishonim learn that no. What the Gemara means over here is, if we know that it's worth a prutah in madai, it still wouldn't be kedushin d'oraisa. It would be kedushin only d'rabanan. Why? Because we don't want. Suppose we were to say, look, it's not worth a prutah over here. You're just like by hektish. We say, you don't look at what the value of the thing might be worth at some future time. We look at it in the we look at it right here and right now. Lechora, we should say the same thing over here. The problem is, if we were to say that this is not a kedushin, what happens if you have a visitor from Madai? He back home in Madai knows that dates go for quite a bit, worth more than a prutah. He comes, visits Eretz Yisrael or Bavel or what have you, sees somebody being the Kaddish with a date, and he sees afterwards the Chachamim say that's not Kedushin, she can go marry somebody else. He's not going to realize that Kedushin, that the minimum amount for Kedushin is a prutah, because he knows by him a date's worth a lot more than a prutah. So because of that, the Chachamim are saying, therefore, that we're going to impose the suffix, and therefore we can't make it full-fledged kedushin. It's not necessarily valid kedushin d'oraisa, but at least we're going to say that midrabanan, we're going to consider it kedushin. And therefore, they add based on that. Therefore, the Rambam's distinction between whether it's going to spoil or not doesn't really make a difference, because we're not talking about whether you can actually physically transport it to Madai and have it be worth a prutah over there. We're talking about we don't want a person from Madai to think that you can do it, that you need more than a prutah to be in a Scottish.
So she has to be Kaddish again, or this is
a... So no, it would mean, it would mean if she wants to marry this guy, she would need a proper Kedushin again. And it means if somebody else is Mekaddish. Yeah, and it means if she wants to marry somebody, if she's Mekaddish Kedushin from somebody else, she's going to need a get from the first guy, and she's going to need to marry the second guy, yeah.
Can you add money to it?
No, I mean, Rapashkas, once he gave her this date, said Harayat Mekudeshesli, then you can't just add it after the fact. No, you have to have them...
If it's a kabbal kedushin, a real kedushin, somebody else.
That's what we're saying. That's where we have the suffix.
Yes. Other rules.
No, that's what we're saying. So okay. we're still going to say the chachamim are still going to impose, according to the Rosh's understanding, you're still going to say that the first kedushin are tofus midrabanan, and therefore she's going to get in her name. So the Rosh tells in that connection. Ahu gabra de'akish bezavda de'udi. There was a person who was mekadesh using a bundle of stuffing. Muchid means like raw cotton or wool or what have you. Like you can use it for you can use it for stuffing pillows. You can use it for making thread out of whatever. Anyway, Yosef Rav Shimi Bachia kamei de Rav. So Rav Shimi Bachia is sitting at the Talmud in front of Rav. But come on, Rav, checking in here. He is b'shavu prutah ein loy to say if this bundle of stuffing is worth a prutah, then it's a kedushin, and if not, then not. And the question is, v'ylach b'shavu prutah loy for Alma Shmuel. What about what Shmuel just said hashinan? Answer is, again, loyf kasha, hob kedushi vadai, hob kedushi safek. Again, Rav Shimi Bar Chiya has to figure out, if it's worth a prutah over here, then okay, we have a full-fledged kedushin, nothing more to talk about. If it's not worth a prutah over here, yes, we still have Shmuel's point that it still might be kedushi safek. Again, either d'oraisa, according to the Rambam, because that's something you could take to Madai or what have you, and have it be worth more than a prutah, it won't spoil on the way, or according to the Rosh, it would mean that there would be kedushin d'rabanan. Another one, how gabra da akdish ba'avna b'kuchla. There was a man who was makadish, a woman using a blue stone. Rashi says it was a piece of blue marble. Again, Yosef Rav Chista v'kama shayar lei yis v'shav v'prota ein v'loy loy. So Rav Chista is sitting and trying to figure out the value of it. Again, v'hom ha'shmul ha'shinen. Now here the Gemara doesn't answer that we're talking kedushi vadeh or kedushi safek. Yeah, the Gemara answers, Rav Chista le Savala de Shmuel. Le Savala de Shmuel. Rav Chista does not agree with Shmuel about this Chayshinin business. Why? Now, what happened? Rashi says that actually we're talking about over here somebody else was Mekadosher. In the previous case, he was Mekadosher, nobody else was yet, so therefore we don't have concern about anybody else's Kiddushin having been Kal. We just have to be concerned, was this a valid Kiddushin, or does he have to be properly Mekadosher again? Here, we're talking about Rashi and Tosfos both say that somebody else was Mekadosher. Specifically, actually, Tosfos says, as we're going to see in a second in the Gemara, that it was his brother who was Mekadosher. So you had two brothers. Reuben was Mekadosher with his Abna de Kuchla. Was it a valid Kiddushin or not? Now comes Shimon and his Mekadosher. So Rav Chista didn't want to say, we don't want to assume that Rav Chista would agree with Shmuel, because then what would we have? We say it's Kiddushin Sofet, like, either way, then there'd be no reason to worry about whether the second one's Kiddushin or Tosfos or not. But if we say that it's a valid Kiddushin, then his brother can't marry anyway, Kiddushin or Tosfos. If it was only Kiddushin Sofet, we're still going to ask her to him anyway. He's going to have to, the first one's going to have to give her a get, and you're not allowed to marry your brother's Grusha. So therefore, if it was Kiddushin Sofet, again, Kiddushin Daraisa or Darabanan, as the case may be, it would still ask her to the brother. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is assuming, that's what Tosfos explains, that's why the Gemara is assuming that Rav Chista disagrees with Shmuel. So, Omer Lehime, the mother of the girl, says on the side of it here, says to Rav Chista, you're checking now whether it's worth a Shavu Prota, but you should know, on the day he was Mekadosher, it actually was worth a Shavu Prota. Don't look at the value now.
Oh, well, in the same place over here, or what?
Yeah, with Vashtus. I mean, even in the same place, the value of these things can go up and down.
Yeah, the
value changes. Yeah. Love kol kaminach to asrit la basra. You don't have the power to give eders that first one should be kedushin and asr her to the second to the second person, the second brother, according to Tosfos. First of all, I mean, Eid Dabashab ever falls in Shnaim. Anyway, you can't give Eidos to make a woman off, so you need at least two.
Yes, local banks. They look it up.
If you could find out, fine. And if you can't, if it's not, people didn't keep track of the consumer price index then like they do now, you know? Because he says, Lav Heiner de Yehudis Dvesu de Rav Chiya, because after all, isn't that, Rav Chiya continues, isn't that similar to the case of Yehudis, the wife of Rav Chiya? Of Rav Chiya. The Havila Tsar Leila, she was having trouble with birth. We learned in Yevamos that she had two pairs of twins. She had two boys, Yehuda and Chizkiya. She had two girls, Pazi and Tavi. And at that point, she decided, I had enough of it. Not only she had two sets of twins, which was hard enough in itself. Actually, the Gemara tells us in Nida that at least in the case of the boys, Yehuda and Chizkiya, they were born a couple of months apart. She had one twin, and she still remained pregnant with the other one, and the other one was born a couple of months later. Well, they're twins because they were conceived at the same time. But the Gemara assumes throughout Shas that there's two, we learned about this in Yevamos, there's two tracks that a baby can develop on. Most babies develop on the 9-month track, and they're born at 9 months, give or take a few days. And then you have babies who develop on 7-month track, and they're born sometime in the 7th month. Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, Shmuel, a number of the famous tzaddikim in Jewish history. But it's also, in Chassidus, it talks about a little bit about you have the neshamas from Alma de Tchura, the neshamas from the world of the Zchorim who are born early. You have Eliyahu Hanavi, who says it's brought in various places, was born after a 12-month pregnancy because he's from Olam HaNukva. Normally is 9 because the average person is balanced. Okay, well, you have that in common with Leo, and I'll be then. All right. So in this case, the two boys, even though they were twins, they were conceived at the same time, but one developed on the 7-month track, the other one on the 9-month track. So therefore, we don't know whether that happened with the girls as well, but the point is she had a tremendous amount of tsar later. So actually, the Gemara in Yevamos says that eventually what happened was she asked an anonymous shaila to Reb Chiya, her husband. She disguised herself, so he didn't recognize her, and went and asked the shaila, is a woman mitzvah on Puri Vavivya? He answered her no. So she went and drank a potion to make herself infertile after that, without telling her husband. And Reb Chiya afterward was upset about it. He said, halavai, we'd been able to have more kids. Anyway. Here she tried another tack to get out of being with her husband Ruchi anymore. Dehavila tzarleida, again she had this tzarleida. Omrele, so she says one time to her husband Ruchi, Omrele aim, you should know, my father once told me, Kibul bich avich kedushi kizutras. Your father accepted kedushin on behalf when you were little. So therefore you, Ruchi, are also to me. I'm already an Ashes Ish from before. Amalah, so Rav Chiya tells him, sorry, that doesn't work. Lav kol kamina, de'imach, de'asrat lach ilavai. Your mother does not have the power to answer you to me. Besides for the fact that you need two edim, there's also, now, in this and also in the previous case, Mephoshim deal with the issue, we're going to learn later in the Masechta the concept that if you have one, for example, a man says to a woman, I was mekadosh you, and she denies it, so fine, there's no kiddushin, but because he said, I was mekadosh you, where when you're mekadosh a woman, you're also in various close relatives of her, her mother, her sister, etc., then yeah, he becomes also to marry any of them. Or vice versa, a woman says, you were mekadosh me, and the husband denies it. Similar idea, it's called shavya nafshe chaticha di isura. Fine, we may not have any evidence of any isur, you need two edim for that or whatever, but you yourself are saying that you're also, so therefore you're also. Why don't we apply that in this case? So they give a couple of different reasons. One of them is, first of all, Yehudis is already married to Reb Chiya. We learned that we had cases at the very end of Nedarim where a woman claims to her husband that she's also to him because she was Mizana or whatever, but there's no actual evidence of it. The husband is not obligated to believe her. She's already under a shibud to him. She's already married to him. She doesn't have the ability to be maskia that on her own and say, you know what, I'm also to you. You need to divorce me. There needs to be some kind of evidence. Actually, okay, Gemara says over there, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if he believes her, then he should go ahead and divorce her. In this case, Reb Chiya is not obligated to believe her. That's one. Second of all, is because she's not even saying it herself. She's saying, my mother told me that such and such. Fine, you have no idea of it yourself. Anyway. Maybe she wasn't, but whatever. The point still remains. If we ask her, okay, then you might start having. But even then, no, because the mother does not have necessarily the ability to say that her daughter is also. Again, if Reb Chiya decides he's going to believe you, it's fine. But he realizes she's just using it as an excuse. So anyway, so Reb Chisda says in this case of the blue piece. The Ishachar. Oh, yeah, Baal said this. She's quoting what her mother said. She's quoting you. My mother once told me that my father was Makabal Kedushin for me when I was little. So now my mother told me your current husband, namely Reb Chiya, is also to you. You might also assume from that lashon of Rashi. Yehudis' mother told her that when Yehudis was little, her father had been mekabel kedushin from somebody else, from Ruth. So now, when she's older and she married Reb Chiya, she's telling him now you're married to an Ashes Ish. I was already an Ashes Ish to somebody else.
Why is telling the story now?
The fact is, we know where she's only doing it as an excuse. Right. Yeah. The Gemara also mentioned in Yevamos over there that Reb Chiya's wife used to cause him a lot of trouble, and we can see from these stories what kind of trouble it was. But yeah,
I know the wrong friends. Yeah.
Anyway, and yet Reb Chiya said, you know, I think it was Reb Chiya over there, maybe it was Rav, whatever. Both Rav and Reb Chiya had trouble with their wives. I think it was Rav actually said over there, you know what, Dayenu, you know what, it's good enough that at least even if you have an Isha Ra, at least she raises your children, she saves you from Aveira, because you have an outlet for your Taiva Sayyetzer. So, you know, yeah. So anyway, so Reb Chisda says the same thing over you. You're claiming that previously the stone on the day of the Kedushin was worth a peruta, and therefore you want to passel. Therefore, you want to passel his brother from marrying her. You don't have the ability to do that. Amrei Rabbanan Reb Chisda Amai. So Rabbanan asked Reb Chisda, why are you saying that you don't have the possibility? Fine, we can't believe her. But you do have edim in idis. who they know, Dvavu Yoyim, Abba Beshava Pruta. They know that on that day, this thing was worth a Shava Pruta. Idisra actually says the name of is the name of a place. Tosfos says that actually maybe Tosfos says that the Girsa is not the Idis, but rather the Uris, and Tosfos explains at a little bit of length that Uris means the west. Throughout Shas, usually, I mean, geographically, Bavel is northeast of Eretz Yisrael. But throughout Shas, usually when they're in Eretz Yisrael and talking about Bavel, they refer to it as the north. It's Tukim, actually, that already it's off into Fatah Hara, for example. So Bavel is spoken of as north of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is spoken of as west of Bavel. That's why throughout Shas, Eretz Yisrael is called Ma'arava. But here the idea would be that this story took place in Bavel. That's where Rafitza lived. So he's saying that so people are telling him in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, there are people who could give aiders that this stone was worth a proof at the time. So why aren't you paying attention to that? So he answers, Hashtemir loy lusnu, come on. Okay, but the fact is the Edom are not here right now. So, lav hainu de Rav Chanina, isn't that the same kind of thing as what Rav Chanina says? The Amar Rav Chanina, we had the whole din of a shvuya, a woman who was captured by goyim, where we say she becomes also to marry a koyin or to stay married to her husband if he's a koyin afterwards because the goyim may have raped her. We had a few...
Even a koyin for his bonus?
Claims also to his wife, if she was raped. Yeah. We had a story there in Ksubas where Shmuel's daughters were taken captive. Eventually, they were brought to Eretz Yisrael, and they left the captives outside. They went into the Beis Din Shtibul to make it look like they just came there on their own, and Rav Chanina, or not that they came there on their own, but whatever, you know, there's no solid evidence right now that they're captives, because the captors are not actually there right now. Kitzur, Rav Chanina gave them permission to marry Koyanim. He actually tells Rav Shimon Ba'aba, one of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, who was actually a relative of Shmuel as well, go take care of your relatives, meaning go marry one of them. Later on, the captors walk in. Now, if they had walked in, these daughters of Shmuel were smart. They knew if they had captors and walked in to begin with, then you have clear evidence that they're shvuyas, then they'd be offered to claim him. Like this, basically, apesha also, apesha hitter. They're able to say nishbeisi, yes, we were captured, or tahorani, but also tahor. Anyway, so in that Gemara, so people asked Rav Chanina, you can find Edim up in the north, meaning in Bavel. Again, remember this part of the story took place in Eretz Yisrael. That say that they were actually captives. What do you mean, Hapesha also Hapesha Hitcher? We're not depending on them to tell us they're Shavuyas. We have Edim available. And the answer is, so what? Just because there are Edim up in the north, Eston means the north, should she become author? Right now we don't have the Edom available. If the Edom were to come, then we'd deal with it. But right now they're not, and right now the Heter has been given. Same thing over here. Rav Chisda is saying at this point we're going based on we don't have Edom right now. Edom may show up later, okay, but by that time I've already been master and said that these first kedushin were not kedushin. Once the Heter has been given, you don't rescind it. That's the Gemara we're going to talk about in a second, the difference between the case of a Shavuya marrying a Koyan versus over here we're talking about a possible Hitchatish. But wait, that's the next thing the Gemara is going to say. But anyway, what it is exactly, how we know that there are these Edim, Tosfos discusses a little bit, and other Rishonim discuss it as well. It's not just maybe there are Edim that could testify that it was worth a Prutta, because then Emel Dover Seif, then never mind Shmuel Suffolk about whether it's worth a Prutta or not, you'd always have to ask whether there are Edim who maybe could testify that it is. So Tosfos says that actually what it is there's a coil that there are such Edim. In our case over here with the stone, there's a coil that there exists Edim in Eretz Yisrael who could testify to the value. In the case of Rav Chanina and the daughters of Shmuel, there's a coil that there are such Edim in the north in Bavel. And the Ramban talks about what's the story with this coil. Was there an actual chizuk? Did Beis Din actually confirm that the coil has a certain validity to it, or is it just a coil without any? You know, at the end of Gittin, we talk about all the pros and cons of coil. Yeah. Anyway. Uh, so, uh, okay. So that's what Chizka says. So the same thing over here. There's no edim right now. Yes, there may be a kol or what have you that there are such edim, but we don't have to be concerned about that. We can say the first kedushin are not chal because I don't agree with Shmuel that there's a suffix kedushin over here or kedushin bade according to the Rambam, whatever. I hold the first one is no good because not worth a prut. It's not worth a prut right here and now, and there's no edim that it is. Therefore, the second one can go ahead and marry her.
Now, with that, the daughters over here, right? They weren't even married.
Right.
And then, just like what you call Russian, having relations. What's not even marriage? What about when they marry later on?
Hold on, but if we knew that they
were, understand.
Right, that's the point. If we knew they were married, if we knew that they were shvuyas, we have to be concerned unless we have evidence to the contrary that the shovim, that the captors had raped them, then they would be also declaring. The fact that Rav Chanina is saying they're allowed to marry a kohen, that one of them can marry Rav Shimon bar Abba, for example, shows the difference. Abaye and Rava lahadir Rav Chisda. Now, Abaye and Rava disagree with this heter of Rav Chisda. He's saying, I was edim and idis or uris or whatever. I'm not worried about them. They don't like that. They argue. Imhe kibbe b'shvuya. Okay, you can say you may go with a shvuya. First of all, the menavla nafsha gaba shaboy. She will dafka try to make herself as unattractive to the captor as possible. She doesn't want him to be attracted to her, so he doesn't rape her. Also, other mafarshim say another reason why she's menabla napsha is she wants to look worse in order that people will be more willing to do pidyon shvuyim, and that the captors themselves will be willing to take less for them. Makel v'eshes ish. So how can we be makel by an eshes ish? Where you don't have that, kind of factor.
But the
worst
of how much
the worst. No. Well, we're still talking about the case of the blue stone, right? In the case of the blue stone, Abaye and Rava are arguing. What reason do you have? In Rav Chanina's case, you can say he's combining a few factors together. First of all, there's the fact that Edim aren't here right now. Second of all, even if we knew for a fact that they were shvuyas, we might have a little bit of reason to be makel because menavla nafsha. Here, you don't have any of that factor. So if you know there's a coil or whatever, that there's idiom in idis, why aren't you paying attention to it? Let's just discuss a couple of other possibilities also. Even if we knew that she was a shvuya, Furk, after all, if she were to marry a Kohen, all you have is an Isur Lav. It's also for a Kohen to marry a Zayna, and in this case she has the din of a Zayna, but it's only an Isur Lav, and Eshes Ish is a Chiyuv Nisa. Tosfos doesn't like that answer, though, because, first of all, Tosfos says you could have a scenario where a Shvuya marrying a Kohen leads to an Isur Misa. Suppose you have, if we were to find out that this woman, Shvuya, was actually raped by the guy, where she's also therefore to marry the Kohen, suppose she did marry him anyway, their child is a cholol. If we don't know, ahead of time, that child may end up doing avodah on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash, and they're the Chiyuv Nisa, because he's shechting, he's doing the other avodahs, which normally is a melacha on Shabbos, and it is an Isser Misa. If he was a Kohen, it would be mutter. If he's a cholol, it's not. And besides that, also the Rashbam and other in another Gemara points out another thing is also when it comes to Isurei Torah, we don't start weighing and saying this one is only a lav, this one is kares. So if it's a suffix there at Isurei, we got to go lachumra regardless what kind of . Yes, that's true. So the Gemara tells, what happened was, eventually, the woman did end up getting married to the second brother because they relied on her chista's tzak. However, so in later times, there was left over some members of that family in Surah, who poshur Abonin mina, but that Abonin stayed away from that family. They didn't want to intermarry with that family. The lav nishum disvir lo kishmuel. Now, not necessarily because they held like Shmuel, that the shava prutah b'mlodei business. Ela nishum disvir lo kabaye v'rava, but because they agree with Abaye and Rava, fine. It may not be, we don't have to worry about shava prutah b'mlodei, but we do have to be concerned about that there were edim and hidis, who we never actually summoned to Beis Din to hear what they had to say. This that we're saying, La Mishum de Sevira Luka Shmuel, the Rishonim who say, well, therefore, if the Chachamim of Sura didn't hold like Shmuel, neither do we. So the Halacha should be like Rav Chisda. We don't have to worry about Shava Prota B'Madai. So as a, unless there's reason to be worried about Edim, if in the original case somebody is Makadish with a date where we know it's not worth a Shava Prota here, then we're not worried about Shava Prota B'Madai. There are other Rishonim who say that no. All the Gemara is saying is over here that what Shmuel is saying is not relevant in this case. It doesn't matter so much whether Shavu Prota B'Madai, because we have a more immediate factor. We have the matter of Edim and Idis. But as a matter of fact, yes, you would, if it was a different scenario, if there weren't Edim and Idis, you would still have to be concerned because of Shmuel's issue as well, of Shavu Prota B'Madai. And therefore, for example, the Rambam Paskins, the Shavu Prota B'Madai business, again, he says only if it won't spoil on the way there. And then, and thus it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Another case, Havu Gavra de Akdash B'Shutisa de Asa B'Shufa. There was a man who was Matadish, a woman, using a branch of Hadas in the street. Shulchan of Adabahun of Chamezer of Yosef, Tai Gavna Mai. What's the din in this case? First is a proper Kedushin. Amalei, a Shulchan, he sent back to him. Nagde Kirav, what you should do is give him Malkus Marudu said it, like Rav says, as we're going to quote in a second, it's just Gitzik Shmuel, and also require him to give her a get in accordance with Shmuel's din. Because again, the Hadas might not be worth a Prota over here, but it might be worth a Prota elsewhere. What does Rav say? The Rav Mangit the Makadish Meshukah, Rav would give Malkus to somebody who's Makadish in the street, because the Prit is sticker thing. The Rambam describes, granted, but well, when we say in the street, we mean like a just, you know, like in the marketplace, a shuk literally in the marketplace. The point is, the Rambam describes that before Matan Torah, there was no real concept of Kiddushin. You could have a man meets a woman in the street, he pays her a fee, and they go home and they have relations. After the Torah was given, that became also for the Kadesha. Person is Makadish Peshukah is a little bit like that. It's pretty stick a little bit in that sense. That you're making it sort of like as if she was a Kadesha, you're cheapening it. While the Makadish with Bia, also he would give Petch for somebody who was Makadish with Bia, which even though we said you have Kesef Shtar and Bia, nevertheless, if you're Makadish with Bia, it's a pretty sticky thing. What's Pritzistik about Kedushin Bia? So Tosfos discusses a little bit. One thing is, because you're going to need Edim, you're going to need Edid Yichud or Edid Bia, and it's not a respectable thing to go and set up Edim and say, hey, be Edim that I'm going to be having, that I'm going to be having Bia with it. That's Edid Yichud, fine. But anyway, that's one answer that Rabbeinu Tam says. The Rebbe disagrees with that, and then the Rebbe says that's not the issue. It's not so much the issue of making Edim. It's what are you starting out with Bia? The Gemara is going to mention in a second another one, Makadish below Shiduchi, where you're Makadish without Shiduchim, Kedushit Bia is similar. Like, what are you starting out with getting physical? You know, do one of the other regular methods of Kedushin first. About Makadish Bia, about the Makadish below Shiduchi, also the next one, somebody who's Makadish without Shiduchim first. Shiduchim, we know what it means in modern terms. In the Gemara's terminology, Shiduchim basically just means that you talk about it ahead of time. Shiduch in Aramaic literally means like to calm somebody down, it literally means. So they talk about it ahead of time. You know, you don't just out of the blue give her a get. The Mavato get, so also somebody who's Mavato a get. Somebody sends a get, and then he's mevatel the get. So Rashi says the problem is because what happens? The husband may have been mevatel it, but the shliach still goes on and delivers it to the woman. She doesn't realize it was mevatel. She gets remarried, and then there's a problem. Yeah, Tosfos says that's not what it means because why should we assume the shliach is doing anything wrong? No, rather Tosfos says it's talking about we learned in Gittin that originally you could be mevatel a get anywhere, and Gamliel made a takana that you can't. So you're doing it in front of Beis Din. After that, though, there's still a machlokus in the Gemara over there, Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. What if you were mevatel it against the tekana? Is it batel or not? We said that Rebbe holds it is. The Chachamim may have the ability to prevent you from to say don't be mevatel. They don't have the ability, if you were mevatel, to invalidate a get that the Torah would say is valid. Or the other way around, to validate a get that the Torah says is invalid. So that's what it means over here. The guy's mevatel a get illegally against Rav Gamliel Sakana, against Rav Gamliel Azakan Sakana, therefore give him pench. Baal Masa Majority. So also somebody who gives a major, who gives a statement about his get. We learned at the end of get in the concept of get ma'usa, where you can have in some cases a husband can be forced by Beis Din to give a get. Now what happens if he were to make a major, if he were to make a declaration, you know what, I'm not giving this get willingly. Well, Moritilaz then. The get may be valid anyway, because Kofinos Yatri Morosani. But nevertheless, he's going to be Moritilaz on it. Whether there are other Rishonim who say it's more than Moritilaz, if he actually said, if he actually made such a Moritilaz, it might actually possible to get there at Isa. And then again, when a get is given nowadays, one of the official things the Beis Din does as part of the process is they tell the husband, if you ever made any Moritilaz against this get, be verbally mevatelet right now. Also somebody who causes trouble to a shliach of the Rabbanon. So Rashi says that actually the you have a shliach the Rabbanon, the shliach Beis Din, goes to somebody to summon him to Beis Din, and this is the other guy, the guy who was summoned goes and hits him. That's what we mean, mitzar shluchah the Rabbanon. There are other Rishonim who say that actually it means more generally, like a person makes fun of a Shliach Rabbanon. We're actually going to have a story later in the last parak. We're going to have a story about somebody who, Rav Yehuda's Shliach, Rav Yehuda's Shamash is waiting online in the store to buy meat. And some other guy says, I was here first, basically. And when the storekeeper tells him, you know, look, this is Rav Yehuda's Shliach, show him a little derech eretz, the guy starts making fun of the Shliach and of Rav Yehuda. So it includes that also. Also somebody who was in Shamta, a form of Nidri, for 30 days, and he didn't bother coming to Beis Din to ask Mechila and get the Shamta taken off. And one more that Rav would give Petch for is a Chosin who lives in his father-in-law's house. Rashi says the reason is because he may end up being Mizana with his mother-in-law. You know, we usually assume nowadays, you know, the whole old joke that sons-in-law and mothers-in-law hate each other. But not necessarily. Rashi brings from a Gemara and Pesachim that, you know, sometimes there could be a certain closeness, a certain inappropriate closeness between them. A different reason that Rambam gives a different reason why a son-in-law should be living in his father's house. He says it's also another matter of pritzus. What are you doing having relations with your wife in her parents' house? And you can have the other way around also. What happens if the father, what happens if the shver comes and then accidentally or on purpose is mizana with his daughter-in-law? Gemara says, "D'dayer in chalif loy." So you're telling me that Rav only has a problem with a son-in-law living in his in-law's house, not just passing by. You have a case of a chassan who just passed by the door of his father-in-law's house. But Nagdir of Sheshes, and Sheshes gave him petch for that. But the answer is, in that case, there were already rumors going around. Daima means there were rumors going around that he and his mother-in-law are being mizana with each other. So in that case, because he's just passing by, then Rav Sheshes, that already shows there's trouble over here, and therefore Rav Sheshes gave him petch. Under ordinary circumstances, where there's no daima, fine, we don't mind him passing by, but you don't want him to live there. Now, the fact is, Tosfos says, in later times, it was a very common thing that sons-in-law lived by their in-laws. Whereas even nowadays, you have that an edim of kiss. You know, you have the guy gets married and then his in-laws support him, and he lives by them a couple of years. How is that? Tosfos says the reason is because nowadays it's very obvious that there's another reason why you're living there. You're not living there, Sam, because you could have just as well lived someplace else, and you're living over there, and they're allowing you to live rent free. So therefore, so everybody understands that that's the reason why you're living over there, not because there's anything inappropriate going on. That, and also other Rishonim say another reason is because in later times people did get more careful with Arayas. You still have exceptions. No, the Yehuda has a whole interesting tshuva about the wife of some local Talmid Chacham who had been mizana with her son-in-law for many years, and now is there enough evidence now to ask her to her husband or not? But ordinarily, that's not a concern, and therefore that plus Tosfos's point about the economics of it is why you have married couples living with their in-laws. Still not literally in the same house though. Not in the same room though. At least they do have to have an apartment. They do have to have an apartment of their own still because of the Rabbi's reason.